Productions. Recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 64 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about logging caches. And so if you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444 and our talk cast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room if to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. And we also have a voicemail line in case you're listening to this later and want to put any comments in. That line is 206-350-3GPS. First, before we get into everything, we'd like to briefly address the comments that we received about the audio levels on the download version of this show. Unfortunately, the show is automatically recorded and posted to the feed by TalkShoe service, and it's recorded from the live recording. While we do our best to match the levels for the live show, TalkShoe mixes the recording differently, and we don't have control of these levels. We brought this problem to the attention of TalkShoe, and we hope that they'll have a resolution here in the future soon. Until then, though, we're looking into other options, which unfortunately do cost money, and being that we don't earn anything from this show, aside from listener donations, purchasing that hardware really isn't feasible. So if you'd like to help, though, we've set up an Amazon wish list that can be found on our geocachingpodcast.info with most of the hardware that we need. Or simply, you can just make a donation through PayPal to help us acquire this audio hardware. So with that, I want to welcome Montu and Daryl as my co-host today. Montu, how's it going?
It's been going pretty good. Not much happening down here because of the heat. You know, it's time for me to do my caching vicariously through friends and like you and Daryl. Jodster and I did, however, celebrate our 17th wedding anniversary as of yesterday. 17 happy years together. So it's been going pretty good. How about you, Daryl?
Well, I know what you're talking about with the heat, but congratulations on the anniversary, too.
Thank you.
It's been really, really, really sticky. Not all that hot, but we've had some 80, 90% humidity days where you just don't want to go outside. But even then, we went out for an FTF on Saturday, along with another three in the park, and I blogged about that earlier. And we recorded an interview for Cachemaniacs episode 81. But really, not much else is going on here. How about you, X-Punk X?
Well, first I want to congratulate Montu, Ryder, and Jodester for their 17 years wedding anniversary. Congratulations, guys. As far as caching goes, not a whole lot. Found a few caches. We hit one over the weekend with the family. Got another FTF this week. Cache was published and went out to it and moved some stuff around that was out by the cache, and a mouse scared me, actually. It was quite funny. But I did get the FTF. So really not much is going on. And hopefully next week I'll have another FTF for you. As anyone who was on this call before we started recording knows that a cache was published right before the show. Really, really tempted to go get it, but it's like seriously next door to my work, and so I'm probably going to get it tomorrow. So hopefully I'm the FTF, but if not, I'm hopefully at least we'll find it, because that'd be pretty depressing if it's next to my work and I can't find it. But anyways, that's really what's been going on with us. Daryl, what have you been hearing in the news lately?
Well, probably the big news is that new iPhone 3G that was announced yesterday at the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference. Probably the biggest thing most people have noticed is that the price on this new iPhone is going to be much lower than the current iPhone. So it's a smaller, thinner iPhone with better battery life, and it's going to be cheaper. Right now, your entry-level iPhone, which is the 8 gigabyte, is $399. This new one's going to be $199, also for the 8 gig. And then for the higher one, it's right now $499, but it's going to be $299 for the 16 with a two-year AT&T contract. And what they've done is actually gone back to a more traditional model. You know, the iPhone, you actually bought it, and you got cheaper contracts because it wasn't a subsidized phone. Well, now they're subsidizing the phone, So unfortunately, your service agreements are going to be a little bit higher. But it is a 3G device, so it's going to be much, much faster. It's got the iPhone 2 software, which supports some third-party apps. And, of course, for us geocachers, the coolest, most important feature, it has a GPS now.
So it kind of sounds like it might be a good device for us geocachers.
It could be, but there's definitely some issues. You know, for one, there's no geocaching software yet. But one of the things that people tend to forget about is that these touchscreens really don't work very well in low temperatures. If you take your iPhone out right now or your iPod Touch and try to use it out in the field in the winter, you'll notice that the buttons just don't respond very well. And who knows yet what the battery life is with the GPS. They talked about the talk time and the standby time with the 3G, but not with a GPS being used, and there's no interchangeable battery. So it might not really work so well for us geocachers. But it is an incredible interface, and with that live wireless connection, who knows what might happen with the third-party apps. It could turn out to be a really, really nice device.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be. I didn't get a chance to watch the keynote or anything, so I might have to go and see if I can find it to look at that.
Yeah, it's a really easy keynote to download. All of the Steve notes now are on a podcast, so if you wanted to, you could actually subscribe to the Apple Keynote podcast. But, you know, there's been some news in the GSAC world. What's going on there?
Well, GSAC 7.2.2 was released last week. I went ahead and downloaded it right away. There's many, many fixes, and mostly included support for the Where I Go cache types and the new GPS Babel as the back end. So that really has been the main thing with that. It's a few minor things going on with it, but nothing huge except for those two things. We'll put a link in our show notes to what they fixed. So that's what happened with GSAC.
Yeah, I hear congratulations are in order for little baby Sean over at Podcacher. I heard he found his first cache this past weekend. Sunny and Sandy are definitely some proud parents for that little baby.
Yeah, I love listening to the shows and getting those updates. But why don't we head right now into the topic for tonight, which is going to be logging geocaching.com cache finds. And we'll be talking tonight not only about how we log our finds, but what we include in those logs. Montu, would you like to start us off with the first method?
Not a problem. First method, of course, is the traditional method, the way we've all been doing it from the start until we get all these nice little extra gadgets. End of the day, going to gc.com and logging our finds there. It works real well because everything has been designed around this, but it can have its surprises, especially when you've been on that big cache hunt and you maybe moved a couple of travel bugs around from one cache to the other. You might find that travel bug was not in the cache where you were supposed to have picked it up from because somebody else has already picked it up from the cache where you dropped it off at. X-Punk, how about the WAP interface?
Yeah, the next thing that we can do to log our caches is on the cell phones with browsers, with web browsers. You can go to WAP, that's WAP.geocaching.com, and it's basically a stripped-down version of the website. The great advantages of it are that it's instant, so as soon as you log it on there, it's logged in your stats. No waiting until you get back home. Another great thing is it's great for picking up travel bugs because you eliminate those surprises that you have with the traditional way because you pick it up right as you actually physically pick it up from the cache or shortly after. So those are the great things. So the negative thing, and could actually be a positive thing, is the no notification to the owners. When you log like this, the owners do not get an email. The reason I said that this could be okay is because the way that Daryl and Dree log it is they just put the time. You don't necessarily want the cache owner just seeing that you wrote the time down. So that could be good, too. Daryl, how about the field notes?
Well, the field notes is not a method of logging directly. It creates a note, essentially, hence the field notes, that you then have to log into the geocaching.com website to actually fill in the full log and submit. And the Geocache Navigator was the first to do this, and what that device and software does is keeps an online log but no information is stored in that log aside from the fact that you found it, didn't find it, or whatever, and then you have to go on to geocaching.com to log it. Now, the Colorado also does a similar type of thing with its field notes, and it simply creates a geocache_visits.txt file, and you upload that to GC through the field notes option. And again, it doesn't really store any information in there, just the fact that you found it and has some time information, but that doesn't get transferred. So the problem here is that you still have to remember or take notes on paper or whatever of what travelers you might have picked up from which caches or dropped off, or if there's anything special that you need to remember. Currently, none of these devices have support for that. But XPunk X, I think that you have some experience with a Pocket PC program that does have some notes options.
I do. User Bishop created a program for the Pocket PC, and actually, it's kind of funny because I do not own a Pocket PC, but I asked him if he'd compile it for Windows, too, because I'm going to be traveling this summer and taking my laptop with me in the car, and I figured this would be a great way to create that geocache _visits.txt file. It's pretty cool. You can go in, put the GC number in. You can put whether you found it, didn't find it, attended it, did maintenance to it, or if it needs maintenance. You can actually write the log right there. It stores all of that information into the text file. When you upload it to geocaching.com, you have a list of all the caches that you hit, just like you would with the Colorado or the Geocache Navigator. But when you go ahead and say that you want to log that cache, it has all of that information in the text field already there where you can log. So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty cool. Links can be found at podcasterforums.com, or we'll also have a link in our show notes to that forum. So, Montu, what other ways?
Well, there's also a macro that's for GSAC, and it works very similar to the geocaching_visits.txt file that the Colorado uses. You put your notes in on GSAC, and then when you run the macro, it simply uploads the dates and times of when you found the caches. Now, one of the bigger questions, though, is what we include in our logs. Before we share our thoughts about what each of us includes, we had a listener call their logging practices into the voicemail line. Daryl, want to go ahead and run that voicemail?
Hey, guys. This is Dan from Dan and Steph. I just wanted to call in since I'm not going to be able to be there for the live recording. I know the topic is about logging the caches, and I've got a little method that I use. If a cache is just an LPC or a park and grab and doesn't require me to use much effort, then I usually won't put that much effort in the log unless something particularly interesting happens to me. But if the geocache takes me to an exciting place, be it educational, a scenic outlook, or just a very remote location, then I'll put more effort into my log. Basically, I put an equal amount into my effort into my log as I think the height I put into the geocache. Now, that being said, when I'm on an FTF hunt, then I almost always call in a message to others. I know XPunkX uses this service as well as some other podcasters and geocachers. What Udders is basically allowing a impromptu podcast that you can record from your phone. Then you can also post pictures and everything and videos to it. So I call in this number, leave my audio log, which allows me to tell the whole story of the geocache, not just in my own words, but also in my own voice. Then once I get home, I can add pictures or video to the online Udder, and then I copy that link from the Udder into my geocaching.com log so that the owner of the geocache and any subsequent geocachers can view and listen to it. I've gotten some really good feedback from the cache owners on my logs, and I'm definitely going to continue to use this service. It's still in beta, and they're always adding new features. But that's my take on logging geocaches on GC.com. Love the podcast, guys. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan and Steph. And we'd love to hear from anyone else who cares to share as well. If you're listening live with us, that's really simple. You can just hit the Request to Talk button that's in the upper right-hand corner of the TalkShoe client. Or if you're just on the phone, go ahead and hit *8 or *T, which will request to talk. Or you can also type it in the TalkShoe chat window if you're not on the phone. You can later, if you're listening to this downloaded, you can call our voicemail. Again, that number is 206-350-3GPS. Montu, how do you log your logs? Like, what do you put in your logs?
Dan and Steph said a lot of what I think we all do. You know, it all depends. Partially, also with me, it depends on how tired I am after the day. I normally try and leave some comments about how we found the cache, if it was in good condition and whatnot. We always thank the cacher for the hide. If it took us a while to find it, if we were searching around, you know, we might make a comment on that, especially out here where we've got the deer so prevalent out here in our wilderness parks. If we see some wildlife, we usually comment on that as well. You know, saw two deer and a doe on the way out or something like that. Almost always I try and take my camera with me, and we always try to upload a picture of us at the cache, but always trying to make sure to make the cache is not in the shot itself. The only other difference might be is when we're at an event, we'll normally post in the log, you know, found while at such and such an event. Daryl, how about you?
Well, my logs really vary based on a number of factors, you know, from the number of total caches that I have to log to the quality of the cache. I try to include a little bit more information about the find, like, you know, how we got to the cache or who we were there with. At the very least, though, and if I have to have like 20 or more caches to log that night, then that's usually about all I'll write is some quick little blurb. You know, I went out with so-and-so, or, you know, did a big cache run today, something like that. Not a whole lot. But when it is a memorable cache, for whatever the reason, whether, you know, it's a really memorable hide because of the location or because it was a clever hide, then I do tend to write some longer information. And whenever possible, I try to include some links to, you know, either photos that I might have posted or people that I was with, other caches I might have hit in the area, and even trackables. And you do that just through the same BB code that you'd use in the forum. So if you want to start doing that in your logs, go ahead and post or check out the BB code commands over there. But for the FTFs, I really do try to spend some time on the logs. It's not very common, but I have been known to write some little mini novels in the like 500 words on a single FTF log. You know, especially if it's an FTF party, I tend to try to write a little bit more. But overall, my log length is closer to about 50 words, according to It's Not About the Numbers. What about you, X-Punk X?
Well, first, before we get into that, I want to tell everybody that we are going to open up our phone lines soon here. So if you have anything you want to put in as far as how you log caches, either via the input method, how do you actually do that, or what you put in your logs, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. And the TalkCast ID is 7525. That number can be found in our TalkShoe client. Or you can, if you're just on the phone, go ahead and press *8 to request to talk. My logs are much like Daryl W4's, and they're based on several different things. I try to comment if I really like the cache. If I feel it was memorable, I'll try to write big logs. If it was an average cache, I'll say TFTC, TNLNSL, you know, which is, if for those of you who don't know, thanks for the cache, took nothing, left nothing, signed log. Maybe if there were other people with me, I'd say who was with me, like if my family's with me. Mostly my logs are on an average of 27 words, but I have been known to do a 267-word log, too. Now, since Dan called in with that voicemail, I decided that if the cache was real good, I may do an audio via Udders. And if you check out the link in our show notes at geocachingpodcast.com or .info for the FTF that I had, you'll hear the audio that I did there. Mostly after I sign the physical log, though, I do one of three things. I mark the cache found in my GPS. Then sometimes I go to the WAP and I'll log that cache. Mostly if I pull bugs from it, you know, I won't be at my computer for a long time, I'll do it via the WAP. And for instance, I did that this weekend. We dropped a bug in one cache and pulled another one out, so I wanted to make sure that I did that live. So I went ahead and did that on the WAP. And then, or I pull out the Geocache Navigator, and I add a log like I would, you know, would have found it with that, so I can remember which cache that I hit. This summer, when I take the road trip 2008 to Texas, I'm going to use Bishop's program because I don't know when I'm going to get to the internet. And this will allow me to keep track of all of the finds that I had for the group, and I can just pass that file around, and they can all upload it to their own geocaching.com profile. So with that, anyone else that would like to call in and put in the input, go ahead, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Press star 8 on the phone, and we'd love to hear from you. So with that, anyone else has anything they would like to put in here, just go ahead and either type it in or give us a call.
You know, one of the other things we should probably mention is the kind of stuff that we don't put into our logs. You know, rarely will I put in any spoilers, and I try to typically kind of read into it to make sure that I don't have any obvious spoilers in my log. And the other thing is, too, if there's something that I notice that I want to alert the cache owner to, I might not want to put that in the log, so I'll usually email the cache owner directly.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too, as far as doing that. I would, with pictures and stuff, too, don't ever take a picture of the travel bug that has the travel bug number on it. Just not a good idea because people will be able to log the travel bug without actually physically touching it. Geek Boy, I see that you have something to put in. Welcome to the call, Geek Boy from Illinois. How do you log your caches?
Well, I actually use a combination of things because I have the Colorado. I use the geocache visits text file, the field notes there. But I also use CacheMate on a Pocket PC device. So I use a combination of the two to actually do my logs. Much like Daryl, I do enter a log for each of my caches. I actually will hand type a unique log for every cache, even if it's one of a number of visits for the day. And I try to keep my logs at least 20 or words or so, even if it's kind of a boring cache, I try to say something about it. But one of the other things that I do note is if I find that there's a cache that is significantly off its position, I will potentially make a note of the alternate coordinates where it might be found, unless there's an obvious reason why it's off of its position. You know, it's one of those that we all tend to do. We make the judgment call, is it just a bad coordinates or is it intentionally off of its position?
Yeah, because there are those caches where it's, these coordinates are within 50 feet of the actual cache. So, you know, you certainly wouldn't want to give away the location of the actual cache in that situation.
If anyone else would like to put in any input here, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. And again, our TalkCast ID is 7525. If you're already on the phone line, go ahead and press star 8, and we'll get you in the request to talk queue. If no one else has anything to put in, I would like to remind everyone to join us next week. We are going to be talking about hosting events. You can join us each Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And again, our TalkCast ID is 7525, or sign on directly at TalkShoe.com. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail at 206-350-3GPS anytime, day or night, and leave us a message for the show. If you've got any topics that you would like to see on this show, we love hearing from our listeners, and we love to have ideas. We want to do shows that you guys want to hear. So go ahead and email us, give us a voicemail. We'd love to get that information, what you guys want to hear. And so give us a call, 206-350-3GPS. Leave us a call what you want to hear, and we'll try to get it on the podcast for you. Again, join us next week as we talk about how to host events, and we're going to talk to a little bit of people who have done some hosting events. So with that, thank you everybody for joining us, and we hope to see you all next week.